Of the Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers. Glad you could be with us this week. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. On the show today is Ted Adamson, and Ted has written a book called Up From Down. He's been where we've been, several incarcerations, and a lot of it was attributed to a heroin addiction, and his breaking that addiction is what we want to talk to Ted about today. If you're home on parole and you're struggling with that monkey on your back, you need to hear what Ted has to say. Excellent interview. We're going to talk to Ted right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. I sure do love to get those emails from you. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Let me know how you're doing. He's been where we've been, a lot of us, and as a matter of fact, he's been there multiple times. And the thing I like about Ted, he's written a book called Up From Down, and the reason I like Ted's book is because he's taken his incarceration experience and the things that led to it, and he's been able to put it in the rearview mirror, although I'm sure it's still a part of your life, isn't it, Ted? I mean, I'm sure there's not a lot of time that goes by that you don't think about it, but you've put it behind you, and that's what we want to do here. Ted, welcome to the Journey of Hope.
Good morning, Wendy.
Listen, the first thing I'd like for you to do is just tell me and the listeners a little bit about your past so we can get up to speed on where it is you're coming from. Tell us about your past.
A little bit about my past?
Uh-huh.
Let's see. I guess the thing you want to know is I'm a former heroin addict, and I was a drug addict for 14 years, and of course, as a result of living that kind of life, I ended up in jail quite frequently, and to be honest, eventually I just got tired of that kind of life. Not so much that I got tired of using drugs, but I did get tired of going to jail, and I wanted something different. And so I started searching for answers to how I could live a different kind of life. And let's see, last time I was in prison was I paroled out on April 1st, 1977, and I'm sure they chose that date for a reason. expecting that I would be back, but I haven't been back since that time. So that's over 35 years ago.
Well, good for you.
Something like that.
You were able to get yourself together, and I noticed in the early stages of the book you talk about wanting to quit, but you couldn't. And I guess my question about that is, was there a point in those early days where you knew that you had passed the point of no return with the heroin?
You mean while I was using drugs?
Uh-huh.
Where I passed the point of no return. Well, you know, I don't think I gave... you mean while I was using? I really don't think I gave that much thought, to be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
I just... it had been such a big part of my... You know, 14... You know, I was... I was about 27, 28 years old, I've been using drugs, heavy drugs, one kind or another, for 14 years, and that was half my life. It just had become my life, and I never, you know, I never really gave much thought to whether I'd gone beyond the point of no return. But I do remember, you know, last time I was locked up before I got released, I was definitely fearful that I wasn't going to be able to stay out, you know.
Well, you had a buddy named Don that you talk about in the book.
A buddy named who?
Don, D-O-N.
Yeah, Don. Don was was my heroin connection.
I noticed that there was a point early in the book where you had told him that you didn't want to do anymore. And but you caved anyway. And tell us a little bit so that our listeners can relate to where you were coming from. I think a lot of us are going to understand where you're coming from, how powerful the urge is. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, you were talking that particular time was when I was using real heavy and was strung out, and and I wanted to quit, and I didn't have much. I might have had that. I was beginning to realize, you know, how deeply I got into it, and I wanted to get out, but I didn't. Although I had that desire at that time, you know, I didn't have the ability, I guess what I would call grace, to implement that. Mm-hmm. So, there wasn't much hope for me at that time. I frankly needed to be locked up. You know, when I got locked up, the last time I was locked up, it was only a little over a year, but you know, it was enough time for me to dry out. But even then, at that time, actually, for years after I stopped using drugs, I would still get mental obsessions and cravings for them. So it's not an easy thing to overcome, or at least it wasn't for me.
Yeah, and I noticed in the book that you talk about the horrible conditions when you were locked up, and a lot of us, especially those of us that have been incarcerated in Texas, like myself, we can relate to that. But that still didn't stop you from using, did it?
No. I mean, well, no, I didn't. I didn't want to go back to jail, but it didn't stop me from using. No, you're right. It just it 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 just wasn't enough.
And a lot of us have been through...
And frankly, you know, there were times during that when I used, I just didn't have any desire to stop. But eventually I did develop that desire. Eventually I did, you know, and I think that's it, through suffering.
Right.
You know, suffering gives you, if we don't suffer from the wrong way of life that we live, then we don't, then where is the motivation to change?
Well, the reason
at least for me.
Ted, the reason I bring it up is I think a lot of us have been in, you know, have had ourselves slapped real hard, and then there we go, you know, right back to it. And so there had to come a point where you eventually said, okay, enough is enough. And we're going to get to that in a second. I'm curious about the therapy you went through at a place called Tarzana. Is that
actually Tarzana still exists. It's called the Tarzana Treatment Center. It was when I was there, my parole officer, the first time I was violated, he gave me the choice. He said, well, you can go back to prison, CRC, where the state of California sends heroin addicts, or I'll send you to a drug treatment program. So all I knew was I didn't want to go back to prison, so I chose the drug treatment program. And at that time, it was called the Tarzana Treatment Center, and it was called the Family Program, and it was modeled after the famous Synanon program.
Right, and I think a lot of us are listening have been through similar kinds of programs, and I noticed that they had you do some very ridiculous stuff in there. And I went through a treatment program where it was similar. But then I noticed later in the book that you admit that they had planted something in your head that actually helped you, right?
Well, yeah, but I don't think it was the result of, you know, to be honest, the kind of, if you could call them therapies that they had there were very, they're actually very inhumane and cruel. And that stuff didn't have much of an effect upon me. But what did have sort of an effect upon me was that I had, I saw people that they used to use drugs, that were off drugs, and they had been off drugs for, you know, 5 years or so. And to me, in my mind, back at that time, you know, that seemed like a real long time, and you know, I was kind of impressed with that. That had an effect upon me, but not their so-called treatment. Not really.
you do a good job relating as you write about that experience. The you know what that is like, and I think a lot of us have been through similar kinds of treatment here in Texas. Ted, let me tell you something. We're going to take a real quick break, and when we come back, we've got more with Ted. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, y'all, you being productive with your downtime? Well, I tell you what I'm doing. I'm learning how to play a little bit of music, and man, I'm not very good at it, but I mess around on guitar a little bit, a little bit of bass, and I found something that if you are doing the same, and I know some of you are, that will really help you. It's something called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and what it does is it uses something called the Nashville Numbering System, and it enables you to play songs in every single key. So you're more valuable as a player when you get together with people and jam if you know how to use this system. And the way you can learn it real quick is with that Jam Buddy chord chart. You find it at angiesbanjo.com. That's angiesbanjo.com. You click on the link for the Jam Buddy chord chart, and it'll give you a one-page free sample. Check it out if you're learning how to play music. It's the Jam Buddy chord chart, and it's found at angiesbanjo.com. Okay, welcome back. We're talking with Ted Adamson. He has written a book called Up From Down, and the thing I really like about Ted, as I said at the top of the interview, is that he's managed to take a really ugly situation and put it behind him, and that's what we're all about here at the Journey of Hope. And Ted, I'm going to pick up where we left off. Shortly after that experience at Tarzana, you write in the book that you had left the program, and you start talking about a purse snatching that you did, and you mentioned stealing money from your mother's purse out of her trunk or something like that, as I recall. And you make an interesting statement. You say that you can't relate the addiction to that kind of behavior. Tell us a little bit about that, where you didn't see.
I'm sorry, I'm not quite understanding what you're saying.
Well, you wrote in the book that that you had done these crimes, the ones that I just mentioned,
right?
But you didn't see where the addiction was the cause of those crimes.
Well, okay, now I understand what you're saying. Yeah, because at that particular time, I wasn't physically addicted to drugs in any way. You know what? I'd just been in a drug treatment program, and you know, I'd been off drugs for a while, so it's not like it was a physical thing that was driving me to do it. It was more of a mental or a spiritual thing.
But I'm curious
if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I'm curious though that now, you know, all these years later, if you do see a connection between those kinds of behaviors.
I see a connection in that had I not been involved in drug use, then most likely I wouldn't have been, you know, went out and committed a crime to commit drugs. But to be perfectly honest with you, I was a criminal before I was a drug addict.
Uh-huh. And one just kind of led into the other, huh?
Okay. So I was I started doing drugs at a young age. I was 14 when I started doing drugs, but I was definitely a juvenile delinquent before that. Mm-hmm. So
what kind of drugs did you do back?
The point I was trying to make, you know what, it's more, I guess, more understandable when somebody's strung out on heavy drugs and they got to have their fix, they go out and commit a crime. But someone has been locked up for a while, and then after they get out and they go and do it, it's a little bit different. And that's the point I was trying to make. Maybe I didn't make it too well.
Well, you used the word evil there in your book.
Oh yeah, no, well,
that's what I was really getting to.
Oh okay, well yes, there's no question about that. I was in the grip of evil. There was a dark spiritual force driving me to do that.
Let's switch gears here a little bit and talk about some happier things. Let's talk about how you got sober. Tell us the process. Tell us, when the light bulb went off. Tell us all of that.
Well, I got, like I said, I was tired. I got in 1976, I was on in number parole in California, and I got violated as a result of additional burglary and sent back to a burglary of a dentist's office trying to get drugs, and I got sent back to CRC, and I was tired. You know, by that time I was tired, and I wanted something good. And the one good thing the institution did for me was it dried me out. And although there were drugs there, they weren't easily available. So I stayed clean, and I started getting at that time. I started getting very involved in the institution with both AA and NA, and I'd go and I'd listen. And I was honestly looking for answers to my dilemma. And you know, the 12-step people that would come in, and I would listen to what they were saying. I was trying to find a way out. And then I paroled out. And I got drunk one time after I got drunk, and after I got out, and a few days after I got out, and and I was a little bit scared I was never going to be able to stay sober. And I did get involved with AA for NA wasn't very popular at that time. It wasn't big like it is now. But I got involved with AA for real involved for probably about 4 or 5 years, and that's how I got that's how I got sober.
There are people that come on the show from time to time, Ted, that don't have this, I'm trying to be nice about it, they kind of slam AA, and I have found it to be very effective. Obviously you do. Talk to us about how AA changed your life.
Well, I don't want to be in, my views of AA are probably not too orthodox. It performs a service, right? I do think it performs a service. I benefited in early recovery from it, but to be perfectly honest, the modern day AA program is it's not what it was like in the early times of AA. In my view, the AA I don't want to slam it, but it's not what it used to be. AA originally had Christian roots, and it's strayed pretty far from its Christian roots.
It has. It's very non-denominational, whoever your higher being is kind of thing.
Right.
And it has changed. We don't have a lot of time here left, but you're speaking to an audience today of people that may be struggling with addiction, that have done their time and are home and are fighting to keep that monkey off their back. Ted, talk to them for a minute and school them up on what can help them.
Well, I really ultimately, although things like AA and stuff have value, but ultimately, the help that people need to receive, they really need to receive it from God. There's an internal healing that needs to go on. And for example, those obsessions and those cravings for alcohol and drugs that I used to have, I don't have any anymore. There's just nothing to struggle against. And all the guilt from a life wrongly lived, that's all gone. I don't need drugs anymore to be at peace. And so there's an inner healing. There is a grace that's available for those that seek it.
There's a story in your book where you relate. I believe you had some kind of an affair with a woman who was separated but was still married, and you went to a minister and you told the minister, I've sinned, and you were kind of in despair, how can I stop this? And when I don't remember the exact quote, but the reverend, I believe it was, said to you, well, something to the effect of, why don't you just start living a moral life? Well, when I first read that, Ted, I said, "Well, God, man, that's kind of rude." But you know what? The more I thought about it, it is a decision that we have to make, isn't it?
Well, yeah, we do. It is a decision that we have to make, that we do want to follow the right path. But there can be, there can be some things that. It doesn't mean that we might not have a little bit. I had my share of troubles along the way, and I tried to write about that. There does have to be a decision to do that. That's clear.
The book is called Up From Down, and we've been speaking with Ted Adams. And this is a really good, it's a real good read. Ted, you're a good writer. The book is easy to read. It's full of interesting stories that I think a lot of you can relate to. I know I could. Ted, I want to thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today. And before we go, why don't you tell us where we can get a hold of the book?
Well, Probably the best way to get a hold of the book is just go to Amazon.com, and it's available there. It's on all the major, it's on Borders and on all the major book sites. If you have a Kindle, it's available in the Kindle edition. It's only $2.99, and it's also available in paperback too. So. I wrote the book hoping that possibly it could help somebody that's struggling the way that I used to struggle. So that was kind of my major motivation for writing it, I guess.
Ted, I think you're right on target, and I recommend the book. It's a nice little book. It's called Up From Down. The author is Ted Adamson. Ted, I want to thank you for being here. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have just a little bit more right here on The Journey of Hope. Hey y'all, me again. You want to be sure and join us next time around, where we're going to continue our theme on addiction. My guest next time around will be Sherry Hope, Dr. Sherry Hope, and Sylvia Yates. They've co-authored an excellent book called Hook But Not Hopeless. And they're going to be talking about what it took for Sylvia to break her addictions. And she went through several incarcerations and lots of trouble with the law. I think you're going to like the show. She's one of us. and she's been able to put this behind her. And that's the kind of story we're looking for. So we've got Sherry Hope, Dr. Sherry Hope, and Sylvia Yates next time on The Journey of Hope. Okay, I want to thank my special guest, Ted Adamson. I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.